burn it deep within me. Let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness, endless day and night. I will be your witness. Fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
Let's sing that second, Set My Soul Afire for the Lost in Sin. We'll finish on that second.
Set my soul in fire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's a song fits very well with what this evening's message a little bit later about worship. Might our souls be set afire to worship God. And even as we were singing, trying to get my own heart and looking about the room, I was wondering how many of us are thinking at all about what we're singing? How many of us are really tied into what the message, not just the words, the message of what we sing? Why don't we focus on that, and we'll talk more about that along the way. I did want to mention Lee Drummond, Diana Thibodeau's mother, was taken to emergency room at Harris Southwest, very sick, vomiting and some other issues. So please pray for her. She's a very sweet lady, dear lady. And, you know, I went to see Ethan Wellborn after church today. We went straight down there to the hospital from church. You know what that rascal said to me? When we went in the room, and bless his heart, he's doing well, but I would mention that in a minute. But he says, "Well, how was the preaching this morning?" I told him the preacher wasn't worth a lick, but the message wasn't bad. But only Ethan could say it that away. But he's doing well. He's having spasms, muscle spasms in the chest. And so please continue to pray for him. They're looking at sending him home tomorrow or Tuesday, possibly tomorrow. But just pray that things will continue to improve for him over the next day. Well, let's take a couple of minutes and shake some hands, folks. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, amen. If you could head on back to your seats, remain standing, grab your hymnals, please. We're going to turn to hymn number 215. Hymn number 215. I absolutely love this song. Let's take it a little quicker than normal. Let's sing it on the first.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus is now.
Straight on through.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. Cold on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen. Thanks for singing. You may be seated. let's turn and stand, please, one last time to one of my favorite hymns, 275, hymn 275, It Is Well With My Soul. No matter what kind of tumult or what kind of problems life throws, no matter how hard, we can always still look up to the Lord and say, It is well with my soul. Nothing else can hold us back from that relationship with Him. Let's sing on the first, When Peace Like a River.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, It is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Let's sing that third.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord.
When those clouds roll back, let's sing on the last.
And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumps shall resound and the Lord shall descend. And so it is well with my soul.
Can you say it today?
It is well with my soul.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you.
Well, gentlemen, if you'll take your places, we'll get ready to see this evening's offering. I tell you what, only saving grace to be able to try to read announcements after that. You get to hear Brother Allen back there bellowing. He doesn't sing. You're making a lot of joyful noise, more noise than joyful, but he sure does make it sound good. So that's the only thing. That's the only thing that drives the tears just a little bit, is the agony of the... Anyway, no. Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir. Oh, still got to use these helpers to read through the tears today. Thank you, Brother Colton. Ladies Fellowship Tuesday, 7 to p.m., pastor's class, and see Miss Marcia for details on that. And Thursday at 6 o'clock, visitation. Let's see Brother Allen for more information for that. I'd like to invite everybody up for that, please. Let's see, ladies retreat planning meeting is Thursday at 7 o'clock at Miss Marcia's house. So, not Brother Turner's, but Miss Marcia's house. So, I don't know if that's the day that he goes out for ice cream or... Hey, that's an idea.
I'll be on visitation.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You're right. Anyway, so guys, while they're out doing the planning for that, you might as well come to visitation. Might as well. So come on by. Men's breakfast is going to be Saturday at 10 o'clock. And see Brother Chuck for more information on that. I think it's just going to be here, I do believe, if I heard things right. We are having a youth activity Saturday afternoon. We're leaving here at 3. We'll be back around 8. The cost is $5. We're going down to Cleburne to Calvary Baptist and having an activity with Brother Earl Sides and down there at Calvary Baptist. And let's see, ladies' activity on the 29th. The ladies are doing a lot of stuff. Going over to the Civil War Museum, $5 a piece for that one, leaving at 10 o'clock in the morning. Fifth Sunday this month, it's a genuine potluck Sunday. Everybody bring their own good stuff. I look forward to that. And the announcement hit the bottom for Brother Matt. He is asking for some powdered Gatorade package. He has the only Slurpee machine in Afghanistan. And, of course, you heard the good report concerning the Bibles this morning also. So please keep him prepared. And when you send those boxes to him, put a little note in there. Just a note of encouragement. And pack it with stuff. Those one-rate boxes, it doesn't cost any more to send stuff as it does air. So pack it full of something edible. Packages of popcorn or sunflower seeds, bubble gum or hard candy or something like that. Not chocolate. Chocolate might not survive. So anyway, I think he'd appreciate that. And I think more than anything, he did appreciate the note of encouragement to go with it. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you that it is well for our soul. Thank you for being able to come and worship you tonight, Lord. Lord, right now I ask you to be at the offering about to receive, and be at the gifts and the giver, and be at the preachers. He comes and delivers a message to us from you today, Lord. Lord, please hide him behind the cross. And you just give him the words you want him to say. Take him out. You fill him with your spirit. Please prepare our hearts, Lord. I ask these things in your name. Amen.
Nice to have Margie Dominey here this morning. It's a blessing. Dear Sister Margie, you can be turning this evening to John chapter 4, Gospel of John chapter 4. Really beginning a series this evening. The foundation passage of this series will come out of John chapter 4. We're aware that chapter deals with the encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with that lady of Sychar there at the side of a well. And as they, we're going to break into the passage in verse 19, but we're aware of what was going on there. God had a divine appointment arranged for his son and with this dear lady, and some tremendous things. Of course, her salvation was accomplished, but there's a subject of worship is dealt with this in this passage, and we'll look at that. If you found your place there, please stand with me in reverence to the good word of God, and we'll begin reading, picking up this passage in verse 19, where the woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She comes up with one of the standard questions when you're trying to witness to somebody. Hey, she wants to talk about religion rather than the real need of her heart. She says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," speaking of the Samaritan worship at Mount Gerizim, "and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, Believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Taking note here, verse 23, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Father, we bow before you once again this evening. Thank you for your good mercy to us. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. Lord, I thank you tonight that we can come to a church house like this one and lift our voices to sing your praise and take your word, open it, and hopefully, purposefully study it that we might grow thereby. And so we pray for the presence of your Spirit as we've read here. Pray that our hearts might be impacted by the truth. We go from this place worshiping you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your good mercy to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, you may be seated. I've been saved nearly 41 years. Isn't that something? I know you're thinking, how could it be that long? You don't look nearly old enough. Why are you laughing? I didn't think it was that all that funny. Been 41 years almost this December. You know, and it's true for every believer. There have been a lot of changes in my life over those 41 years, and I'm sure you would attest to the same. Things change, especially in our Christian lives as well. As a child of God, I've gone through, I guess maybe you'd describe them as stages, you know, different periods in your growth and development with the Lord. You know, just like any child, we as children of God, we grow and mature and things come along and we deal with those and we grow in that. And again, the Lord brings us along. I remember, as you probably do as well, hopefully, remember when I was first saved and the excitement that accompanied that time. I especially remember the great release of my heart. You remember that? I remember the night, again, it's 41 years, almost 41 years, but I remember it as if it was last night when the Lord dealt with my soul. And I remember, again, I didn't know what, I've shared this, I didn't know how or what, but I didn't know what prayer was, really, except talking to God, and that's all I knew to do. But I remember that night when I got up off my knees and from my chair, and it was, I don't know if this is the right thing to say, I felt different that night, and I felt the release. Did you feel it was like you took a breath like you never took a breath before, huh? You knew things were different. You knew that God had done something. I especially remember that night, the joy when the Lord lifted that burden of sin from, and again, maybe you understood. I didn't really understood that much about it. I was, you know, just knew enough that I was a mess and needed God. Thank the Lord, He came my way, just as He did for this lady at the well at Sychar. Upon my confession of sin, turning over the control of my life to Jesus, joy flooded my soul. The years passed, continued to grow, my love, desire to serve the Lord. But I want to tell you this. There was a growing realization in my heart, in my life, that there was something that seemed missing in that devotion to the Lord. I had been taught and accepted readily that when I got saved, I was to serve the Lord. You know, That went without saying. And indeed we did. Marcia and I did. We were immediately involved in what was going on in our local church, and we gave our lives to serving the Lord. Everything in our lives, and I mean everything, revolved around our local church. That was good. I don't have a complaint about that one. It was better than good. It was great. Wow. But still, I sensed something that was missing in my service for the Lord. By His grace, God continued to give me a great... Hey, I don't even think I understand. The only way I can explain it, God gave me a burning desire to know Him better. I think Paul expresses that in Philippians chapter 3, where he describes that longing in his heart to know Him and the power of His resurrection. I wanted to know Him better. I wanted to walk with Him that would be, I don't know the right word to use. I'm really shooting from the hip in a lot of these things this evening. With that, there came a new burden. A burden that ever increases with every day that I live with Christ. In Christ, I should say. The burden to be better able to worship Him. To worship Him. Huh? Let it sink in. To worship Him. One thing you'll hear in this series of messages on worship, until you're probably weary of hearing it, is that God is seeking folks like that. So read here, God's seeking folks that will worship Him. We'll deal with this again in a later message, but that word worship comes from an old English word. And it basically used to be pronounced worskite. And it had the idea of ascribing to something its worth. Ascribing, giving to something its worth. God, beloved, desires and deserves our worship. Giving to Him what He deserves. John 4:23, as we read a moment ago, will become kind of the foundation or theme verse, where it says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. That church is what I pray God will help to instill in our hearts through this study, a desire, a longing to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. To worship the Father, to worship our God in spirit and in truth. Well, the question, why worry about it? Why worry about our worship? Why be concerned about our worship? Preacher, isn't that what we've gathered here to do on Sunday morning and evening? Aren't we here to worship God? Well, yeah. But do we understand what that means? Do we have a real understanding what worship is? Brother Curtis was joking with Alan about, when Alan's worshiping, everybody knows about it. And, that's okay. I don't know how many folks are in this room tonight. We're all put together a different way. God built us all different. There's a lot of times you may worship and it leaks out your eyes. That's okay, too. Maybe it comes out of your mouth. Maybe it's a lifted hand to God or whatever it is. We need to worship Him. We need to worship Him. Why do we worship Him? Why would we be concerned with our worship? Well, number one, we need to be concerned about what right worship is because of who God is. Because of who God is. Our God deserves our worship. You know, I love those words from Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You know, you've probably all done it here in the past, but the first little old country church I preached, we used to sing that sing that song, the chorus is surrounding those words, and indeed, aren't they beautiful? Thou art worthy. Talking about that worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Oh, yes. Why? John gives us the answer to that. For thou hast created all things. And notice what John goes on to say. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure. Isn't that something? For thy pleasure, God, is what John's saying. They are and were created. Boy, there's a lot there. We could preach. We could probably have a series of messages on that verse alone. Because I think we're missing it big time in these days, just why we're here. Huh? I don't care if you're lost or saved. You're here to give God glory. Huh? Everything that God has created is to give Him pleasure. Huh? It's not about me. It's not about my pleasure. It's about His pleasure. What pleases Him. Tremendous context. If you would, if you turn to that passage, look at that in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. It's hard to break into this passage. It's all about worship. We'll begin reading. Well, again, let's break in at verse 8. It says, the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest day and night. They rest not, I should say, day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. That's the God we worship. What's going on in glory? His worship. Those that gather around His throne, even as we are gathered here tonight, are there doing what? Ascribing to God His worth. Holy! Those beasts cry out. And how often do they do it? Continually. It's continual. The holiness of God acclaimed at His very throne. Oh my. But we go on. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then it says the 24 elders fall down before Him. Notice, they fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are. Means that's what they exist for. That's why they were created. Whew. What a passage, huh? Tremendous context. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. An Old Testament connection to this passage and these words here in Revelation 4. There the psalmist David writes, give unto the Lord. Notice, giving worth, ascribing worth. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. See how that word worship begins to take on its meaning. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The beauty of holiness. What's that all about? Doesn't that strike different thoughts into our mind? Turn again, if you would, with me to Psalm 95. I don't know if I've got a marker in that place or not, but Psalm 95. Lord, help us here. I could dwell on any one of these passages. In Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1, listen to this. It says, O come, the invitation. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. It's okay, Alan, as long as it's joyful. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Wow. I think David had an idea about what worship was. Indeed. We see some things here very quickly. We see that we worship him because he's a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. Verse 3 again. For the Lord is a great God. Huh? Do we give him, do we ascribe to him his greatness? Because he's a great God. You know, humans, as humans, we relate to the world in which we live, don't we? We have a hard time thinking beyond this world. Sometimes I believe our concept of God is also limited by our understanding, our ability to understand. We serve a God. Now listen, we serve a God that is, I was going to say overflows his creation. But he's more than that. Be mindful. He spoke the creation into existence. Indeed, he overflows his creation. He's more. I don't know another. He's just more than his creation. He's a great God. He is infinite. He's eternal. And yet, in that he's seen fit. Now listen. To be intimately involved with his creation. Why should he bother with me? Huh? He has seen, he has chosen to involve himself with you and with me. What's that do to you? Huh? Wow. He's a great God, surely deserving of our worship. But secondly, we see as well, not only is a great God in that verse that describes him in verse 3, is a great King. There's all kinds of kings through the ages, good ones and bad ones. None of them compare to the great King.
That's right. Amen.
Huh? Yeah. The great King. A great thing, King, it says here, and above all gods. You say, what gods are they talking about? What's the psalmist talking about? Well, we understand are obviously the pagan gods and supported and backed up by their demon spirits. But above that, beyond that, they are in no comparison to the great King, our God. Reminds us of that verse in Revelation 19 and verse 16, where it describes him as what? The King of Kings. Huh? And the Lord of Lords. What's John telling us there? He's above all. He's above all. He has dominion. He rules as a king over all. Great King. He's a king over the earth, as it says in verse 4. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. In his hand, the strength of the hills is his. He's over the sea, as it says in verse 5. The sea is his. Notice the possessive here. This earth belongs to him. The seas belong to him. It's all his. The universe belongs to him. This old earth is his. In Psalm 50, in verse 10, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine, our God says. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Tremendous. We realize in that statement, he's not only saying that the cattle are his, the hills are his. The hills are his. And with all that said, this great God, this great King, we can also declare them that He is our God. He's our God. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Our Maker. "For He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." He's my God. He's my God. He's your God. Huh? Oh, wow. He's our God. He's our Maker, as we've seen here. It says, "Let us kneel down before the Lord our Maker." Wow. What do the words of verse 6 put you in mind of? If you kneel down before someone, you're acknowledging their superiority, that they're over you, their dominion over you. You know, it's interesting that let me see which verse is it. In verse 6, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Three words in that verse have the idea of coming down. The word worship, obviously the word to bow, and the word to kneel. All have the idea of coming down. Kneeling is the idea of all three of those words. Doesn't sound too much like a lot of worship that's going on in places today. Huh? There's a recognition that we worship the supreme, great, almighty God of the universe. Our Creator. Our Maker. He's our salvation, verse 1 says. "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." He's not only my Creator, He's my Redeemer. He created me, I did my own thing, and He had to come back and make me right with Himself. He's my salvation. The rock of our salvation. And I love that expression. The rock, the foundation, that which I can cling to. The rock of our salvation. Not only our Creator, also our salvation. Should we not then? Shouldn't we then, based upon who He is, be concerned with how we worship Him? Shouldn't we, because of who He is, isn't it important to worship Him rightly? To worship Him in a way that He is worthy of. Psalm 96, verse 2. We read this. "Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day." He's worthy indeed. But there's another side of this question as to why we should be concerned about our worship. And it's also found in these verses. Number one, as we said, we need to be concerned about our worship because of who God is. But secondly, we should be concerned about our worship because of who we are. Because of who we are. The flip side of seeing Him as Creator is seeing ourselves as His creation. I know that's simplistic and it goes without saying. But sometimes we kind of get to thinking we're bigger than we are. We're creatures. What do you mean? We're created. We're creatures. We are not the beginning and end of ourselves. We're not the rulers of our own destinies, as the world would have us believe. Just as God breathed life into Adam, we too receive life from God. It's His gift to us. We are in His hands, as the passage described. Surely, a creature's greatest duty is to ascribe rightly to its Creator. Does that make sense? That the greatest duty of a creature is to ascribe the worth that His Creator deserves. It sort of speaks to how the lost man often confesses, by his life at least, that he believes he's a self-made man and worships his creator. Isn't that where we're at in the world today? The world is what? Worshiping itself. Worshiping. Man is his own image of worship. Well, going on, Job understood all this. Reading from Job chapter 1, even more than familiar, well preached, as Job was dealing with his great God, things going on in his life. It says in Job chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, it says, then Job arose. Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down. Isn't that interesting? You'll see in this study, it's a commonality. Those worshiping God fall down. He fell down to the ground and worshiped. Worshiped. He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job had got to some place in his life. Job got to the place that he understood who God was. Of course, he had some friends that come by and do their best to shake his understanding of that. But Job understood that his God was everything. And he, regardless of what God might permit into my life, I still bow the knee to him. Worship him, the God of my creation. Indeed, we worship him because of who we are. We're the saved. Hallelujah. We're the saved. We are his people. Verse 7 of Psalm 95 says, for he is our God. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Those are beautiful things, aren't they? It speaks of our Creator's care for us. Sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness that goes on. Don't be like those who have hardened themselves in days gone by. Allow God to deal with us. Be sensitive, as we've said so many times, to his promptings in our life. We need to do our God justice. Again, what did John say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord. This carries with it a responsibility. He's a great king who rules his universe. He's a God who rules his universe, and yet he's the God that is intimately involved in my care, in your care, doing for us all along the way. I can't hardly handle getting myself home at night. And here I got a God that rules and reigns in the universe and takes care of my every need.
That's right.
And yours as well. We're the flock under his care, as verse 7 described. Doesn't it sound like John 10? Sounds like John 10 a great deal, if I can find my way back there to John 10. Listen to those words. John 10. Verse 11, the Lord Jesus declares, and he says, I'm the good shepherd. Now again, as we read these words, be mindful how they go together with what we've read in Psalm 95. In this personal relationship that our God has with us. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Jesus goes on and say again, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Wow. Some things there just quickly. We understand as he says, as Jesus reminds us, he gave his life for his sheep. verse 11. He gave his life for the sheep. Verse 14 and again in verse 27, he reminds us that he knows his sheep. He knows those who belong to him. Verse 28, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish." Is there some eternal security in that? Hallelujah. "They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." That's the shepherd's care. The great shepherd, the divine shepherd, has that ability to keep and protect his sheep. And as we just read, not only that, he gives eternal life unto his sheep. Well, going back to where we started, in those days, as I mentioned, you know, that longing in my heart. And I'm not saying I've arrived, and not by any means. Don't get that misconception. But it's so easy, beloved, to fall into just the mechanical workings of the Christian life. I'm doing what I know I should do. We got up this morning and shined up, you know, took away some of the damage that the night had done, and came together to do what? Worship. And I wonder if we have a clue. It becomes so mechanical. Sing the songs. Don't think about them, as we mentioned earlier. Huh? Are we, again, what's this thing worship all about? It's ascribing to this God that we've begun in a little bit to try to describe his worth. We are here tonight to give him glory. Huh? We opened that hymn book. Hey, I love that hymn book. Those hymns say something about God rather than a lot of the junk that's out here now. They say something about this God that David describes. Huh? Not the dribble. No. We have an opportunity to sing. Hey, those songs are written to what? Give him his worth. Huh? I'm not, song leaders, understand, I'm not saying anything here, but you know, those songs a lot of times were written to lay out a message. Huh? Read those hymns. Verse 1, verse 2, sometimes there's some of the most tremendous theology you'll ever find in those great hymns of the faith. They're there to help us to give him what? Worship. And we do our God an injustice when we don't sing them that way. I'm not saying you had to stand on the chair to sing. Not at all. I'm not. Hey, when we were singing "It Is Well With My Soul" a while ago, I almost wish I was back in Georgia. I felt like doing a lap or two around this place. Huh? I mean, I've been in churches where I literally sat on my hands because I thought they'd say, "Who is that crazy guy if he would actually desire to worship?" Huh? Lord, help us. Worship him. To give him, hey, a monicum at least of that which he deserves, as the word says, that is due him. He's my creator. And he's my redeemer. He wants to save me out of that muck and mire. He placed me upon the rock. That rock, Christ Jesus. My heart should want to praise him. Huh? Woo! We should want to give him glory. Amen. With every breath that we breathe, it should be, "Hey, God, thank you for what you've done for this sinner."
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
He's worthy. He's worthy of all that we could give him plus. Why should we worship him? Oh, yes, because he's worthy. But we should worship him because we love him. We love him. Why do we love him? Huh? Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Where would Jim Turner be? Where would you be tonight if he hadn't first loved us? Huh? God, deliver us from the mechanical, dead, cold worship. Allow us, God, grant us, Father, that longing, that desire in our heart. Liberate us to worship you, Lord, to give you glory. Why should we be concerned to worship him properly? Yes, because of who he is. Because of who he is. Because of what he is. Because what he's done for us. Because of what he's done for us. Beloved, I'd rather worship God than do anything else. I was talking to Brother Bruce Martin on the phone, I think it was Friday night, he called, and he had been sharing with me that they'd been in services 8 times a day. It was in a meeting, I think it was in Progreso or someplace, was that where it was? 8 times a day. You know, I'd just come from the same week where we had been in, we'd had three preaching times a day. And I thought we were doing good. Huh? I love to worship God. I want to be where he's worshiped. I want to be around people that want to worship him. Magnify him. Exalt him. Hey, the Bible says that he inhabiteth the praises of his people. When we praise him, what's he saying? He likes that. He comes and is part of that. Huh? Oh my, should we want to praise him? Do we want his presence? Yeah. Question. Do we know him first? Do I know him? You can't worship him unless you know him. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? Is he not just God, but is he your God? Yes, he's all men's creator. But is he your redeemer? Is he your redeemer? What could be more important as we shared this? What could be more important? What is the greater question? Oh, folks are bogged down with this and that. This, you know, Lord, deliver us to just find our joy and our pleasure in this great God. Life's too short. So I tell Marcia, my dear wife, all the time, life's too short to get bogged down, to worship him. Oh my. Is worship a bummer for you? Some folks, well, I just don't enjoy church. Well, maybe that's part of the church's fault, part of the problem there. Get around a bunch. Hey, you want to lose your enthusiasm for God? A lot of churches will help you with that. I sure don't want us to be one of them. Huh? Folk, come into these doors, they ought to sense there's a people here that love God. Amen. That he's everything to them. Huh? Oh my. It's what God began to burn in my soul to understand this book better. Huh? There's a lot of good books in the world and it's good to read. But there ain't no book better, forgive me my bad grammar, there's nothing better than the Bible. A 66-book library tells me everything I need to know. Everything I need to know. To guide me for life. Guide me for eternity. Huh? Here's where your effort ought to be. Know this book. And you'll know your God better. Oh my. Do you enjoy worship? We're just scratching the surface here this evening, trying to get a, a little bit of an interest stirred up in our hearts to want to know more. God is what? Searching for such. What's that? Worshippers. He's looking for folks that want to worship Him. You're probably like me. Before I was saved, man, that was the last thing I was concerned about. Something changed. That night I got up off the knees in front of that old chair and went into the bedroom, and I woke up Marcia, and first thing I said to that dear girl was, and I'm sure she thought, what is going on with him? We're going to church Sunday. Okay. She says, okay. Well, God had done something. I remember that Sunday got to church, and I don't know if you all have ever heard of a guy named Mac Evans. He used to sing for old Jerry Farwell's Old Time Gospel Hour. And our pastor used to have him in. He wasn't my pastor yet then, but he used to have him in about once a year or so. And Mac Evans was at the church that day, and he's singing beautiful music, doing a great. But the only thing on my mind was, get this thing over with. I want to go tell somebody I got saved. God had done something. And I wanted the world to know about it. I want to give Him glory, folks. Worship Him. Ascribe to Him His worth. Let's stand together. Father, we bow before You tonight. Lord, I pray this evening. I plead with You, I beg You, in Jesus' name, that You do something in our hearts, Father. Lord, You know us. You're our Creator. You're our Maker, as we read tonight. You know all about us. You understand that it's just our nature. We grow cold and things. We fall prey of just marking time and going through the mediocrity even. Lord, I pray that You change business for us. Father, that You get a hold of our hearts. We want You. We just want You. As the Apostle Paul cried out, might it be our cry to have You in the power of Your resurrection. Lord, that we'd want You and to worship You and to give You glory more than our daily bread, our breath. Jesus. Jesus would be our everything. Father, please enlarge our hearts for You. We'd be better prepared, better equipped. Oh, Father, I know that it's is the song that we started with this night. Set our hearts afire. Set our hearts on fire for You. We ask it, Lord, for Your glory, for Your honor, for Your praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Court in the song for us.
Hymn 167.
As we sing, please might our hearts worship Him. The words, not just be words on a page, the words that would proceed from our heart to give Him worship tonight. As we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am. Trusting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, the home fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, yea,
leave the night being a worshiping people. Amen? Let's be a worshiping people. The court come.
Amen. Well, let's be dismissed with the chorus, Every Promise in the Book. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine.